Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. It is Saturday, about 1 o'clock or so. I am recording this before I head off to a Super Bowl party that will have bottomless whatever I feel like drinking. Probably margaritas today. I'm thinking margaritas is the move. So I'm going to knock this out before anything, before I get to that party. I will say this, though. I'm going to keep it under control just in case we get some crazy rumors at the end of the night. I just have this weird feeling we might find out something about Anthony Davis during the Super Bowl. It just feels like that kind of a day. So I'll have to, I guess, be mature and be an adult. But as of right now, there's a ton to talk about. What I'm going to do, I usually dive right into your guys' questions, but what I want to do really quickly is just kind of address the stuff that's been going on. We had an altercation or something that fell just shy of an altercation between a few of the veterans, Michael Beasley. Lance said he wasn't involved, but he was one of the guys who are frustrated with the role. JaVale McGee, same kind of thing, and Luke Walton. So I'll address that. Probably the Anthony Davis stuff, I would imagine, is still going to come up, so I won't touch on that right now. But as far as and then in the segments to come, I will answer all of your guys' questions. I want to remind you guys to subscribe to the show, and if you have any questions or anything that you want covered on the show, the best way to guarantee you're going to get that on there is by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. I want to start, like I said, though, with Luke Walton, and I'll start by saying this. This is not a new thing. Look, I mostly think Luke Walton is okay at his job. Okay. I wouldn't call him good. I wouldn't call him bad. I would say he's okay. And what he's supposedly the best at is as a communicator, right? And we've heard of that since he came around. And for the most part, I think with the players that he and the Lakers organization believes in moving forward, I think he's a very good communicator. But I think one of the things that we've noticed, an inability or a flaw in the organization right now, is they kind of decide early on who is in and who is out. And for those players who find themselves out, that's where you start to see, all right, that they aren't going to be communicated with very well. They feel isolated and not really a part of the future, and they know that. It's very obvious. We saw that with Brook Lopez. We saw that with D'Angelo Russell. We saw that with Julius Randle. We've seen it with any number of non-superstars. The Lakers are very good at treating superstars well, maybe too well in the case of Kobe. But what they've not really done a particularly great job of is making those who aren't a legitimate part of the future, like they decide that really quickly, and then you're out, right? And it hurt them with Brook Lopez. He would hugely help the team this year. It hurt them with Julius Randle. He would hugely help the team this year. And we're kind of sort of seeing that again now with JaVale and with Beasley and now apparently and maybe Lance, though to apparently a lesser extent. And that's where, you know, they gotta be better at that. The other thing, too, is we were told that these guys were all winners and they were mature and they were veterans and they were going to help all the young guys, right? And it's a lot easier to say that, but in a year where all of those guys are vying for one of their last couple NBA contracts, it's a lot easier to say that when things are all rosy at the beginning of the season. But then you go through a portion of the season where you struggle, your role isn't what you want it to be, and you arrive here, right? And you know, that's why I always kind of rolled my eyes when Magic and Pelinka dumped on Russell and called him immature and that he wasn't a leader and that they wanted a leader. Like I didn't really like that because I said, well, you can't do that and then turn around and acquire the meme team, right? Like that doesn't quite work. We'll see how things turn out. These kinds of things happen all the time in the course of an 82-game season. Apparently, Luke Walton bought everybody brownies, and things are better now, and some of the guys on the team think that the culture and the chemistry will be better now for having had those conversations that they had, even as heated as they got. We'll see. We'll see. Sometimes that's how things work. I mean, anybody who's been a part of a locker room environment know that as you're competitive, it's not just a competitive standpoint from individually, I want more playing time than I'm getting, and therefore I have to take it from somebody. It's also from the standpoint of, I really think that I can help this team, and if a team is struggling, everybody's going to take that personally. So it's, to a certain extent, it's okay. It might be a good thing that they're having these conversations, because it might show that they care. It all depends on where the team goes from here. All right, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, I will answer all of your guys' questions. You guys once again knocked it out of the park. Let's take a quick second to pay some bills, and I'll come back and do that. All right, so the first question here comes from Saul the Kid. This is about PG, not the movie rating. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sad do you get watching Paul George play the way he's playing when he was for sure signing with the Lakers? Because I'm at like 12, and we could really use him right now. I don't know. I guess it sucks because he's a good basketball player, and I like good basketball players playing for the basketball team that I root for. But beyond that, though, like I'm happy for the guy. He seems to have found a situation that fits him, a roster that fits him, a city that fits him. He seems to have grown really close with Russell Westbrook, so I think that's always cool to see. I'm obviously a Lakers fan, but I'm also a really big NBA fan. It's why I do Locked On NBA. When David sent out an email and said, hey, I'm really interested in expanding our Locked On NBA team and going to you guys can host one day a week, I jumped at the opportunity because I love basketball. I love the NBA. It's my favorite thing to pay attention to. And I think it's good for the NBA that Paul George and OKC are good, because it's a very interesting team. It's a very interesting city. So from that standpoint, it's I think it's kind of cool. From the standpoint of, like, he was for sure going to be a Laker, I think that was true while he was in Indiana. But as soon as he landed in OKC and he saw the outpouring of support, like, I think that really matters to him. Some players they respond more to fan treatment than others. And I think Paul George is one of those who, like, legitimately care that people like him. It's why he tried to straddle the line the way that he did this year, this past summer, in eventually signing in OKC. He cares a lot about how people feel about him. You saw it in the quotes when he played here in LA and he got booed. Like, it seemed to legitimately affect him. And I think as soon as he arrived in OKC and the fans just all showed up and really supported him, I think that ship sailed. So, but, you know. And then you also have the Aaron Mintz thing, which probably didn't help matters at all either. It's funny. People get all angry about, like, Rich Paul and, oh, he's scheming. He's this, he's that, and the other. And then, like, Aaron Mintz has legitimately burned bridges with the Lakers. And people are just like, well, you know, so it goes. What? Anywho, next question here comes from Justo Usto. Better or worse with Davis? Are the Lakers better off developing their young core until eventually one breaks into a star? Or are we given better hopes with a title with Davis on the team? This is a very easy question, guys. This is very, very easy. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? I think they're better with Anthony Davis. What? Whoa! that's how this is gonna go. Anthony Davis right now is a top five talent in the NBA. He's 25 years old, maybe 26. I think he's 25. He's going to potentially even get better. If the Lakers acquire him, they've acquired a top five talent in the NBA for at least the next 5 years. And depending on how his game matures, they'll have that for the next maybe 10, right? Maybe 8. 10 years that they'll have a really, really, really good player. I just don't see a situation here where Lonzo Ball winds up being a top five player or Brandon Ingram winds up being a top five player. I just don't. And if you can get that right now, especially in a sport where only five people play at a time, like you get the superstar and you figure everything else out. Next question here comes from Slim Said. Anyone who can give you all the Lakers news all the time in a daily podcast deserve a 5-star rating. Think, oh, well, no question there, but I appreciate that, Slim. That was really nice of you. Next question here comes from Kevin Branch. Hey, Anthony, love the show. Thanks. What other sports podcasts do you listen to? Looking for others that aren't huge. If we do trade for AD, what would the team look like? I know that's assuming pieces, but just generally, if we gave up 3 or 4 for one, how do we fill out? Well, the Lakers would have to pay close attention to the buyout market. I'm looking at New York specifically, right? Because and now, you know, they're trying to say, oh, we're going to try to compete. No, you're not. You have 10 wins, guys. Come on. So it'd be if like DeAndre Jordan hits the open market and the Lakers wind up trading Zubats, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think if they release Wesley Matthews, he's a wing who can step in and play like 15 minutes a game and knock down some threes. That'd be kind of nice. Apparently, they're interested in, I think it's Reggie Bullock or something like that. And that kind of makes sense, but I think you're going to have to give up something to get him. But basically, long story short, they're going to pay really close attention to see if they can add a point guard because they're probably losing Lonzo, probably add a wing because they're probably losing either Ingram and or Kyle Kuzma, and probably a big because they're probably losing Ivica Zubats in this trade. So we'll see what the trade looks like, and then you kind of move on from there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm as sorry as anybody. This is how this is probably going to play out, but the Lakers are probably going to wind up adding Carmelo Anthony. Like, that's just, if they have a roster spot and there are no other options out there that would legitimately help the team, they're probably going to go out there and land Carmelo. So, sorry. Next question here comes from Bright Smile Alex. The Boston trade depends on Kyrie resigning. If they don't, they won't give assets. So, I've seen that as like a response to these Kyrie Irving, New York Knicks rumors that somehow Kyrie's potential departure means that they will go all in for Anthony Davis as a means to convince Kyrie to stay, which kind of makes sense. It's just that that's never how Danny Ainge operates. He's very risk averse. He's reluctant to give up Terry Rozier for like Kawhi Leonard, right? So I think if he didn't have that, if that wasn't something that he has done previously, then I would say, yeah, that totally feels like it makes sense. It makes sense to try to do everything you can to, A, land Anthony Davis, and B, try to convince Kyrie Irving to stay. But let's say they land Anthony Davis and both guys still say, nah, I'd rather be in New York or LA or whatever. Then what? Right? Then you're sitting there and you've traded all your assets to land Anthony Davis. And you gave up assets, albeit lesser than you thought at the time, to get Kyrie Irving, and now you have to restart that rebuild all over again. So I don't see that's not really how Danny Ainge has ever operated. Last question here before we hit the break. Let's go to Trip Before C. Just a theoretical here. What if LeBron comes back and the AD stuff waits till summer? Lonzo comes back and everyone hits it off and make it to the finals and don't win. If they make it to the finals, they're winning. I don't think they're going to make it to the finals. Would they still offer everyone for AD, or would it be better to try to sign a free agent? Saying that, meaning Lonzo kills it in the playoffs, Kuzma plays like an amazing role player, and B.I. actually plays like he did against the 76ers. I mean, that's what Magic Johnson and the organization is trying to tell everybody right now, that they'll just go out and sign somebody if they'd rather do that than get into a bidding war with Boston. So maybe that's definitely an option. I just don't know how many free agents are out there that don't already have places penciled in. Like I think Kevin Durant is looking at New York, right? And he's looking at a huge market where he would be the biggest fish. I think it'd be a terrible decision for him because he's very obviously emotional and he doesn't like criticism. And New York is a lightning rod for criticism. I think Kawhi Leonard wants to be a Clipper and has always all along. And, you know, I think that'd be interesting, right? I'll believe it more when I see it, but I think that's the direction that everybody seems to think that's going in. And, you know, you look at other ones. If KD leaves the Warriors, that gives them enough flexibility to be able to sign both Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. That takes those guys off of the market. Maybe Boogie in the way that Pete talked about the other day. But I don't know if he'd want to sign a one-year deal, no matter how expensive it is, just because he's thinking, look, I'm coming off of an Achilles injury. I'd like more security than a single season. And that would probably make things difficult for the Lakers. Chris Middleton, I don't see him leaving Milwaukee. It's a perfect situation for him. He's going to the All-Star game for the first time this year, right? So we'll see what kind of options the Lakers have on the free agent market. Maybe Kemba Walker leaves Charlotte and as a result, you know, you now have a backcourt of Lonzo Ball and Kemba Walker, and that makes sense. It's interesting. I there's not enough shooting, I don't think, from Lonzo to be able to be a shooting guard, but you know, you could kind of try to make it work. So we'll see, I guess. But I think right now their best bet is to just see what AD costs and get AD on the roster and see what you can do from there. That's how I would handle things. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I will continue answering your questions. This one, the next question that we have is about the playoffs, and then they keep on going from there. All right. This is from Vet57. Do you predict the Lakers will still make some sort of small trade to help our playoff push, or did the AD trade derail that possibility? I think their playoff push is going to be bolstered by LeBron's return. I think, like, we've seen it. They competed against Golden State pretty well. You know, they wound up losing and Golden State pulled away late. But, you know, it was good to see them compete. They beat the Clippers in LeBron's first game. And the Clippers are the team that they're fighting for or fighting against to get into the playoffs. So I think they have enough to get into the playoffs right now. I don't think you have to make a move to get into the playoffs. Now, could you make a move to make the team make a little bit more sense as you head into the playoffs? Sure. Like, I would like more shooting on the roster. I would like Lance Stephenson to play less. So any move that helps make that a possibility, I'm all for that. So I don't think that they'll make a move specifically to make the playoffs just because, like, I think they're going to make it anyway. Next question here comes from Vujicic fan. Harrison left a question, I guess. Love the show, dudes. Last Friday, you and Pete were quite negative, but I enjoyed the honesty. Thanks. One thing said was you tired of punting off to the next season? But if Anthony Davis gets traded, other than LA, is punting for hopes of him in 2020 so bad? I would say yes. If that happens, screw it, go all in for KD in 2019. I think they're going to legitimately pursue Kevin Durant. Like, that, I don't think that's groundbreaking analysis. But yeah, I mean, you have LeBron right now. And you've already kind of sort of punted on a season right now to this point by trying to maintain as much flexibility this summer as you possibly could have. So in that respect, I punting on half of a LeBron James contract, like, that's what you really want to do? I just don't see it. And the other thing too is, like, I don't think they're that far off. And when you punt on seasons, you're limiting any chance of opening up a margin for error that you can actually take advantage of LeBron being a Laker. And I just don't, it's not worth it to me. It's not worth it to me. And the other thing, it's hard to get invested in a team where you look at the roster and the vast majority of everybody is somebody who likely won't be there next year. Like, I don't, it's hard for me to, like, I look at JaVale McGee and it's hard for me to look at him and say, oh yeah, I totally want to see him develop and become a part of LA culture. You can't, right? Rajon Rondo, same thing. Lance Stephenson, same thing. Michael Beasley, same thing. All those guys. You look at him and you're like, all right, well, we'll see how they do this year, and then we'll see where they go on from there, you know? And that's kind of how I feel about this entire idea of punting and punting and punting and punting. It's just, it doesn't work out for anybody. Next question here comes from Des Laker 801. Hey, Harrison. I'm not Harrison. Wow. Putting in so much time and effort and to bring us such great Lakers content. Question, why do you and so many others laugh at the idea of Mark Jackson being our head coach? And how likely is it we get Spo or Ty Lue? I don't think Spo is on the table just because I think he really likes it in Miami. He really likes that culture, and they've allowed him to flourish and build a team and a culture that he likes of his choosing. Ty Lue makes a little bit more sense because he's out there right now and he's already coached LeBron, and then you also have the Lakers ties as well, which we all know means a lot to the Lakers. Look, Mark Jackson is somebody when I laugh at Mark Jackson, it's me laughing at the Lakers being so predictable that we just know, like, that's the person that they're going to be interested in hiring. And I just don't think in an industry this competitive that predictability is something that you should hang your hat on, you know? And then the other thing is with Mark Jackson, I don't like the way that he's handled being unemployed with the Lakers out there as a possibility. Like, he just has no problem whatsoever fiending for Luke Walton's job. And I just think that's kind of tasteless. Next question here comes from random bias. Oh, somebody here is not a fan. Sorry. With the baby on the way and you presumably keeping up podcasting/blogging, will you ever sleep again? No! Fortunately, I'm an insomniac, so I'm already used to it. Next question here comes from JR61194. If you had to guess the roster at the start of the playoffs, what would it be? LeBron and teammates. I'm sorry. I have no idea. I really don't. I'm going insane. Next question here comes from Birdable. If the Lakers trade all their young core for a superstar, are they boxing themselves in terms of the length of their championship window? No, the guy that they're trading for is 25. In other words, once they have the two, is there enough cap space left to get a third? And even is there, and even if there is, are we perpetuating this constant state of free agent recruiting we've been in for the last God knows how many years? Isn't it smarter to bank on one of the core becoming that third piece from a cap perspective for the longevity of that championship window? I think this is why Magic keeps lowballing these offers. I don't know if I buy into this idea that Magic is lowballing the offers. Woj has been off on this story. Brad Turner has been killing the story. Tanya Kanguli, same thing. They have been murdering the story. And I just don't. Woj, I'm looking for his connection to this, and maybe it's just Dell Demps because Woj has always operated pretty well with Pop, and Pop, and Dell Demps is a Pop's. He falls off of that tree. So I think Woj is, and then we also know how Woj kind of operates, right? Like, he if you don't give him the scoop, he's going to ether you. That's how he's always operated. And I think him comparing how the Lakers are handling this to how they handled the Paul George situation, like, that just tells me he's not very fond of them right now because they aren't giving him the scoop. So I don't know if I roll with Magic lowballing the offers. The other thing, too, is in regards to, you know, the cap stuff, yeah, you're right. It does make more sense for the Lakers to hope that one of the kids pop. That said, that same hope is what they're telling the Pelicans that they're interested in acquiring, right? That's the selling here. The selling point is, look, we think and a lot of people around the league think that Lonzo could be special. We think, and a lot of people around the league think, that Brandon Ingram can be really good, right? And it's hard for you to have that conversation there and then also hope to keep him. The cap, like, you get bird rights with those guys. You could go above the cap. It means that you pay more luxury taxes, but I have never, ever cared about luxury tax payments for billionaires. Like, it's their job to field the team. That's literally their sole purpose in this agreement of being able to own an NBA team is you have to pay up sometimes if you have a winner. Obviously, in a vacuum, in an ideal world, you get to keep as many of the young guys as you can. I just don't see that as a possibility right now because Anthony Davis is so valuable. And then in terms of the culture of, you know, free agency and all that stuff, and whether or not trading for Anthony Davis perpetuates that, I guess, to a certain extent. But you know, you now have two guys that you can point to in LeBron and Davis and say, those guys are a legitimate part of the Lakers for the next couple of years, few years, and hopefully beyond that. And I think if you look at the other role players that they put around them, it's easier to buy into that when those role players would probably sign up for multi-year deals so that they can chase a ring alongside those two guys. Last question here comes from QBreezy12. At almost 2 years in, how do you feel about Magic? I'm really glad we got LeBron, but I think that most everything else has been subpar. Is the only thing he has to offer charisma. Also, congrats on your exciting news. Thanks. I'm terrified, but thank you very much. How I feel about Magic. I think Magic means well. I think he legitimately cares about the Lakers, but I think he only has so much time, and he isn't around the Lakers as much as you guys think. Which is fine, right? Like, it's fine. He was hired to be the face and the charisma of the franchise. And to that extent, he has been very good. He has been as advertised. But where it gets dangerous is if you aren't around the organization as much as people would hope, and then you go out there and you try to force upon people your opinions and on what the Lakers should do, then that's where you might run into some problems, right? Because you have people who are around more often and do pay closer attention to these things that you're overriding, and, you know, that's not great. That's not how a competent organization runs. So it doesn't matter how I feel about Magic, really, right? Like, I can say all these things about Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and this entire organization that I think has legitimate flaws in it, but they might still wind up with Anthony Davis. You know, good process or bad process has good results all the time. Hell, look at my freaking career. Like, the odds were insane that I would ever be able to make this a career. It was a terrible process getting here, but it worked out, you know? And sometimes it does. We'll see. I'm hoping it does. I'm hoping it does, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong in my concerns about the organization. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Enjoy the rest of your guys' Sunday. Get ready for what's going to be probably an insane week. I am going to be practicing, not getting sleep, I would imagine. So pay attention to, you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Keep an ear out for stuff that we put out there at Silver Screen and Roll. And we will be back to talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a good one.